you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. Beginning with verse 11, we're going to read four verses. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Let's ask the Lord's help as we look into his word. Father, we thank you for your mercies to us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to meditate on these things for a while this afternoon. We pray that you would bless us in them. That you give us a sight of the Lord Jesus, where he has been and where he is, in Christ's name. So as we try to see what the import of this passage is, I would like to point out to us that what we have, or what we have just read, is, in a nutshell, everything that the apostle has to say in the entirety of the epistle. Look back with me if you have that Hebrews passage open. The striking nature of striking similarity, I should say. Hebrews chapter 1. I can find it here. Hebrews chapter 1, the third verse. Now, this is clearly, it's an introductory statement, but it is a complete statement. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. That is not verse 3. Oh, it's the second half of verse 3 here. I'm just going to pick up from the when after the comma in verse 3. When he had, by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, and so on. Notice the similarity to what we have in 10:12 here. It says, after he had offered one sacrifice, verse 3 it says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God, and so on. This is clearly a central, the thing that the apostle wants to say. Chapter 8, verse 1. So this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, he says, who is seated. Do you think it's important to him that the Lord Jesus is now sitting? Who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. And then here, it says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. The apostle is emphasizing the seated nature of the Lord Jesus, in order to buttress the faith of the believers that he's writing to. Now, the seated nature of the Messiah is coming from Psalm 110. So the argument of the apostle in Hebrews comes primarily from two sources, from Psalm 110 and Psalm 40. Here is Psalm 110. You don't have to wait long in Psalm 110. The Lord Jesus quotes this as well. He says, "The Lord said to my Lord," and the Lord Jesus queries the Pharisees with this. This is David speaking, says, "Jehovah says to my Lord," and this is David speaking. Who is the my Lord that he is speaking of? "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." And notice the invitation, the command, sit. Okay? "Till I make your enemies your footstool." The invitation to sit, what does that refer to, and when would that be referring? The other, of course, key statement would have to do with Psalm 2 that would dovetail with this. I'm not going to bring that up here. So, how are we to look at that, and what is the import for us? The apostle in Hebrews is encouraging the Hebrew believers with these elements. And notice the elements. First of all, the one being referred to. Back to the passage in Hebrews 10. He says, this one. He said, when he by himself had purged our sins. There is an emphasis here on the one who is, before he is seated in the right hand of the majesty on high, by himself purged our sins. Who is this one? Who is this one? Right prior to that, in the first chapter, in the prologue in Hebrews 1, we see that he is the effulgence of the splendor of God himself. He is the one who radiates the glory of God. He is the one who as you might say, by himself wrestles with Satan, by himself purges our sins. It is as if he is saying, behold the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist says. He is able. Only this one is able. It's like he is at the beginning of a concert. There is maybe a black stage, and then we have a spotlight, and it shines on the edge of the stage, and someone comes on the edge of the stage, and the spotlight shines on him as he comes to center stage. And that is the effect that we have here. This one, only this one, he is by himself able to purge our sins. He himself, by himself, has purged our sins. His work is complete. Notice tense of the statement. At the beginning of Hebrews says, when he had by himself, when he had purged our sins, his work is completed. So there is a fourfold completeness of his work as it's stated to us. He had offered. The entirety of the backlog of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament is presumed here, pointed to the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. That spotlight idea is again pointed to us. It's not some, as Paul is continuing to point out to us, it's not some continuing sacrifice which points to a continuing futility of sacrifice. No, there is one sacrifice. It was offered once for all time, and then it's done. It is complete and completed. And the fact that the Lord Jesus came and is sitting down at the right hand of the Father is totally significant of the fact that it's done. It's over. I don't have to offer again. They continue to offer. Those priests offered. This priest offered once. So when this priest offered a sacrifice for sins once, forever, he sat down. He offered once, forever, he sat down. So it's necessary for us to see the once for all, the once for all in the past. The one sacrifice, not the many sacrifices, the one sacrifice. That's the second point. The one sacrifice forever. That's the third. And now the fourth is the he sat down. So the work is complete. For whom is the work complete? Is for those for whom Christ died. It is for the elect, and it is necessary for us not to see that as some exclusive club. It is certainly an exclusive club, but it is a vast club, if you will. It is those for whom God had intended that. It is a group that no man can number. If you look down from the view of history, it is a vast group. David got himself in trouble thinking that, well, I will put a perimeter around the elect of God. I'm going to count them. They could be counted, of course. It's not an infinite group. It can be counted. And he got himself into trouble counting them. It was in his days, Israel was how many? Well, it was a group that could be counted, but viewed down through the annals of history, it's a group that no man can number. The elect of God is as many as the sand by the seashore, as many as the stars in the sky. And it is a perfect numbering. And in that perfection, Christ went back to the Father and sat down. And so the contrast, those priests stood working. This priest sits. They stand working. He sits because his work is complete. And so we see that from the Psalm 110:1. Jehovah said to my Lord, sit, till I make your enemies your footstool. And so Paul says, to which of the angels did he ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? It is necessary for us to see the Lord Jesus' kingship here. In Luke 19, the Lord Jesus has the parable. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. That is the Messiah, and his kingship. In the parable of the talents, and he said, do business till I come. Do business till I come. So the Messiahship and his kingship is denoted in the sitting, in the kingship, in the kingdom that the Lord Jesus is to receive. So there is the perfection of the kingship that is denoted thereby. It's necessary for us to see the perfection of all that the Lord Jesus is in his sitting. The Lord Jesus' kingdom is a perfect kingdom. And he is receiving the kingdom, and we inherit with him. Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. It's necessary that we wait with him. So he is waiting. We are waiting. In 1 Corinthians 15, there is a reference then to that waiting, to that completeness. In 1 Corinthians 15 says, he must reign until. So that is the situation of the Lord Jesus having sat down. There is a ruling and a reigning. He must reign until. that's the situation that the Lord Jesus is in now. He reigns. He rules. And that is what is declared here. It says, we declare his death until he comes. We declare his death until he comes. In Revelation 13 and 14, it says, "This is the patience and the faith of the saints." This is the patience and the faith of the saints from Revelation 13 and Revelation 14. Revelation 13, Revelation 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 13:10 and 14:25, he must reign until, and here we are in the middle here, he must reign until, and here we are, and we say, O Lord, come. O Lord, he is waiting. He has sat down. He has sat down. He is waiting. We are waiting. There is the O Lord. There is a perfection, at the same time, a waiting, a perfection and a waiting. The Lord Jesus has joined the Father, and at the same time, he is waiting. And here we have the perfection of the Lord Jesus' sacrifice. Perfection and yet waiting. Perfection and waiting. O Lord, come. O Lord, come. Here is the patience